Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Digital, get down. Get down. Hold up. Wait a minute.
You can get this life too if you work hard and stop being bitter and busted.
I follow dogs on social media.
If you aren't watching the webcam, whatever that dance was that Ryan Wiggins was doing the other day.
It's the broken arms dance.
No.
Oh.
It was the one to
one?
The shoulder one.
Sweet Dreams, Eurythmics.
Something.
Oh, yeah. That was my really sharp movements dance.
It was called something else.
Rob is.
It didn't have a name.
On the webcam, I have my own video screen. Katie has her own massive video screen. And then we have Ryan and Gabe and Rob all lined up on one. It's fantastic.
Yes. The three amigos.
What do you have for us today?
They say we are birds of a feather.
You look very sharp over there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a nice blazer.
Enough about you. Let's keep talking about me. What do you think about me?
You look good.
Wow. All right. That's the show,
guys.
Thanks so much for listening.
Katie looks like Danny Zuko today.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I got chills.
Yeah, from Panicky. It's a Hallmark. Sounds like a Hallmark card.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm losing control.
Hickey from Kinnicky.
God, that's a great sound. Yeah, Hickey from Kinnicky. It sounds like a Hallmark card.
Yeah. You know what? Perfect.
I'll give you 5 cents for your ride and your chick. All right, we could really go on a tangent here. I love Grease.
So many tangents.
All right, let's start with movies then, since we're on that Grease kick.
Chris says Rob must have had the fermented eggnog.
Cheers, Chris. Merry holidays.
All of them.
December is a huge month in movies and in film in general, but I think 2019 might be one of the best years in recent memory. A couple of films that have come out already that I want to talk about. Has anyone in the room seen The Irishman yet?
No.
Not yet.
Really?
I've heard about it.
But I heard the people who started watching it are still watching
it. Too long.
I think it's funny that people will start watching series of 14 episodes that are an hour long, and there's 7 series, and they're like, yeah, I watch that. And they're like, The Irishman is 3 hours plus long. And
it's too long.
Panic.
I'm one of those people.
Well, so
too long.
There was a guy on the internet, and I forget his Twitter handle, so I'm not going to be able to give him the credit
at
to.
Real Donald Trump.
At Real Donnie T. He basically broke
not
the
a parody.
He broke the movie out. So for those of you not in the know, The Irishman is the story of Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters and how he went missing. It's a 3.5-hour movie with no intermission.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. It's fantastic, especially if you enjoy
the monster. All had the time on our hands that you have.
If a movie comes out on Netflix, does it need an intermission?
Well, it didn't come out on Netflix originally. That was how it was supposed to be released, but
it
was released in theaters for a month, and then it's now exclusively on Netflix.
So this 3 hour, was it 3 hour and 40 minutes or something?
3:30.
3:30 was in theaters.
In theaters with no intermission.
I did not know that.
I think our sister station KMOX, Mark Reardon, is on the Academy Awards, and he does a lot of the voting. He was actually in L.A. for the premiere and interviewed De Niro and talked about how Mark has a bladder the size of a pea and how he didn't think he was going to be making it through the film and whatnot. And De Niro talked about his old age. He goes, I know those problems. It'll only get worse for you as you get older. So
great advice.
Fun.
But
I knew about Mark Reardon when we started the show.
I knew a lot about Mark Reardon's bladder before I even came on this
show.
We're
not going to talk about it.
There's a way, though, Katie. You can break the movie out into 4 parts.
Katie, come back to us. Hey, Zuko.
Nope.
Zuko, I like
Zuko. What do you guys want from me?
She's thinking about a whole bunch of stuff we talked about off air.
Anyway.
So break it out into 4 parts. They're basically 50-minute segments, if you will, and you can kind of watch it as a mini-series, and it's a lot easier of a way to consume that. So I'll send you that the image, and we can post it on the Facebook page, maybe, and we can talk about ways that we can break that
out. What's your thought about when directors are like, I don't want you to watch my movie that way? And I'm like, I don't want to watch your movie at all now, jerk. Like, I don't understand why. I understand you make a cinematic event or a film or a series or whatever, and you have an intention with what you did. But just like anything else, like if I'm talking about something on this show and I don't like the way you react to it, that's my problem. That's not your problem. And it's my responsibility to constantly put something together here that I hope you come back and you spend, if you normally spend noon 25 with us, that maybe you'll stay till noon 45 with us and that you want more of what we do. But that's on me. That's not on you. So if you're going to pause the Netflix thing and read Zoom later, wouldn't you rather people do that than not watch it because they can't fit 3 hours and 30 minutes of their life into
what you gave them? So I think his comments kind of got misconstrued. And obviously when he was talking about, you know, Marvel and the superhero movies not being real cinema, I think he got a lot of bad PR for that. We have to remember that this is Scorsese's swan song to mobster movies. And they kind of talked about this. If you talk to kids today under the age of 15, they don't have an appreciation for what the mafia and the mob is. I think you probably talked to your parents' generations and everybody would say, yeah, it was a real thing.
That's my complaint
about
this generation, too.
Yeah, they don't know about the
mob.
They
don't know anything about the mob.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
They're terrible.
Right.
We should break their kneecaps.
We should. put a horse's head in their bed.
There you go.
Something like that. So I think it's a, you know,
learn today.
Those kind of movies aren't going to be made as much anymore because it's not culturally relevant as it used to be. And that's kind of how Scorsese really made his name was in the mobster mafia kind of movies. Yeah. So I think it was kind of a, you know, I don't care what you think type of thing. This is my going out party. This is one of my last films. And he's getting up there. It's going to be one of the last films that he ever does.
I can respect that. Yeah. And good for him for, if he's got himself to a position where he can do what he wants, that's the goal, right?
And I think initially why they wanted to go on Netflix was the ability to let people pause, use the restroom, go get more snacks, rewind a scene to catch up on some of the words that they might have missed or the themes that they might have missed. So yeah, it's a really good 3.5 hours. My brother and I, we were in Minnesota for Thanksgiving, and we started at 10:30 at night, carrying us all the way to 1:30 in the morning. It was a little late, but great film.
You kids.
There
you
are
kids.
Very few directors left, and especially younger directors, who kind of get carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Right.
Christopher Nolan is one of them.
Yes.
But there are very few others, and Scorsese is part of that generation of filmmakers that kind of got credit for just being filmmakers. Now you almost have to have an audience before the film is made.
Yeah.
So I appreciate guys like Scorsese saying, look, this is the way I made it. This is the way I would prefer you to watch it. He's 77. He's earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of the, to your point, Ryan, you know, the movies that are coming out here have kind of built that publicity up. So a couple of the big movies that are coming out, Richard Jewell, the story of the 1996 Olympic bombing. And he was a security guard, if you're unaware, that was essentially mislabeled as the terrorist that was doing the bombing. And so this is a Clint Eastwood film. But they've been talking about this movie for three months.
Who has also earned it.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got that carte blanche, too.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, from the box office right now, the number one film has the worst ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. And so, Annie, I'm sorry, but Frozen 2 is...
We Disney over here, and I'm living my best life.
I've seen it twice.
Twice.
It's amazing.
So it's better than the 78% that Rotten Tomatoes is giving it.
It's an amazing movie. I was not a Frozen fan.
Okay.
Frozen 1. I felt as though Elsa was a very unlikable character. I know that it comes from like a historical tale where she's actually an evil queen and they adapted it. They actually adapted it late in the ball game before they released it. But I felt like Frozen, the original Frozen, was not enough story to make me want Elsa to win.
Sure.
And I always thought Anna was the more interesting and dynamic and likable character, but the movie is Elsa. And Frozen 2, I would even say in some capacity, more for people who are not little kids, although my kids went and saw it with us twice as well and loved it. And the music is amazing. It's such a well put together film. This has a real arc to the story, and it is redeeming, and it is dynamic, and it makes, I think every character that they included in this story has real value and something real, really tangible for the viewer to take away. So I would highly recommend you go see it, and I will add, too, that there's a play in Hollywood Studios and Disney World where it's a Frozen sing-along, and it was always off of the original Frozen, obviously. Josh Gad, who is the character who plays Olaf, the little snowman who likes warm hugs.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Disney World, and apparently he was in Hollywood Studios at the time. And so people were just, you know, going from one place to the other in Hollywood Studios. And he came out as Olaf and sang as Olaf to the crowd.
Cool.
Wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever to be able to go there and have Kristen Bell walk out on the stage? And you would just be like, Is this part of the real show?
It would. However, if Josh Gad walked out, I'd be like, oh, who's that guy?
Not when he opened his mouth, you wouldn't. Right. Not
it's
if
like,
you know
oh,
who
I get
Olaf
it.
Is.
Well,
I get
I've
it.
Seen parts of Frozen 1, so yeah. I think I would know.
If you were not, if you really liked, I've heard people who really loved the first one were not as high on the second one, but I've heard a lot of people who have since said Frozen 1 wasn't really their favorite and Frozen 2 blew them away. So I would highly, highly, highly recommend people of all ages go see it. I think you'll be wowed.
So that one, Knives
Screw
Out, Ford versus Ferrari, and A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the story of Mr. Rogers. My wife saw it and said it was fantastic.
I
want
to see it.
Crying, talking about it coming home. So mm-hmm. I said, all right, oh, let's talk about it later, maybe. Yeah. I don't want to watch the waterworks right now.
Take your filthy emotions out of my presence.
Man, speaking of which, I watched Requiem for a Dream the other night. Oh, my gosh. I want to watch something nice now, like Mr. Rogers.
Wait, was it your first time?
Yes, I've never seen the movie.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little dark. Yeah, yeah. A little dark.
Hallmark movie.
Yeah, right, yeah. This Christmas season.
It's a palate cleanser.
Right. It makes Christmas movies seem like, thank you, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear about all the missing children from last night that happened? Millions of children missing around the world? After last night, it was very scary. So you guys know what December 5th was, right? Yesterday?
No.
Happy Krampusnacht.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's Krampusnacht. Are you familiar? Do you know who Krampus is?
Yes. Isn't it, I don't know of what area or part of the world that this is from. Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Germany.
Yeah.
But it's like the scariest, it's the scarier version of Santa Claus, right? Steals children, eats them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So,
Yes,
that. I figured Gabe probably knew. You're so worldly. Would you like to tell the audience a little bit about who Krampus is?
No, I'm not that well versed in it.
He's
but
a scary looking dude,
basically,
right?
It's,
yeah, I think I know the picture.
Yeah, and instead of getting coal, you get, you know, abducted and eaten.
Yes, and actually, part of the story is before the children get eaten, Krampus takes them to his coal mine, which is where all the coal for Santa comes from.
Puts them to
so
work.
If you're a really bad child, the story is that Krampus comes on December 5th Eve and kidnaps all the bad, naughty children.
Mm-hmm. Sorry if you're in Carline right now.
Yeah, so scary stuff. But no, we're all good. It's just but it's actually revitalizing. This happened hundreds of years ago in Germany, and they have actually a night where all the young men in the town go parading through the streets, kind of dressed up, and it's a pagan ritual to try to ward away evil spirits around the Christmas holiday to allow for, you know, good energy and whatnot around the Christmas season. And of course, it comes over here, gets Americanized, and, you know, they're going to come steal all your children and make them work in the coal mines.
Yeah, we make things cool. No, I'm just going to keep praying to my baby.
Get back to work.
You got to love those Germans, man.
Oh, yeah. Just crazy.
They got some awesome stuff going on.
That's awesome. Speaking of awesome stuff, South Dakota got a new little slogan. I don't think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I have this one on save.
South Dakota, we're real. Come visit us.
Great faces, great places. South Dakota, birthplace of yours truly, Vermilion.
Yeah?
Shout out Vermilion.
Nice.
They have an interesting way that they're going to tackle the meth epidemic up in North South Dakota. Have you seen this?
Their new
slogan is meth. We're on it. We
catchy.
Are on
wow.
it.
Did meth
catchy.
Need a slogan?
I didn't. Your opinion, right,
not as
Mr.
Bad
Wiggins?
As South Dakota,
what do you think about that? Yeah, did they need a slogan?
And if you were going to do meth, would you think about that and go, oh, but if they're on it, I might not want to be on it.
Yeah,
second guessing my choices.
Yeah,
you remember what Nebraska's slogan was?
It was
Nebraska. Honestly, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Literally,
yeah, and it
slogan.
That was real. But that was for tourism.
They're not wrong.
Not drugs.
I know, but still, tourism, honestly, it's not for everybody. It's like, you want to come here? You should reconsider.
No, that's a good point.
Go somewhere else.
I don't know, but whatever. We're still talking about it, which is why it is, in fact, good marketing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.